talk about real life things today. And I don't know how the Lord's going to bring this about. I may just go this speed. But the main thing is I want you to stay with me because it's important. You know, receiving the Word of God is very important. You got to engage in God's Word, and then you got to receive it. And then you got to respond to it. How many knows that there's powerfully important? You know, God's about sending His Word, and the Bible said He sent His Word to heal them. God's about sending us what we need to heal us, but we got to receive that Word, and then we got to respond to the Word, and we got to open our hearts up to it. You know, I can preach here. I can preach the most elegant message. You know, we could have Damon Thompson. We could have T.D. Jakes here. We could have somebody here, you know, just preaching and preaching the most elegant messages to you. But, you know, the fact is, it's on you. God's Word, He has sent His Word, but it's up to you to receive that Word and appropriate it to your life and to your situation. God's Word's always on time. How many knows His Word's always on time? Amen. It's okay. Go ahead. So if you have a Bible, I want you to look in, and I'm going to talk about someone that has been on my heart a lot lately. And in the Word of God, turn to the book of Job. Okay? Let's see. Oh, Pastor Art beating on poor old Job again. Thank you, Brother Roy. And then I have an announcement here to make, and this may prayerfully be important to you. And I'm going to use for one verse here, King James Version. We use all kinds of versions of Bibles here. I don't believe just in one version. There's all kinds of powerful versions, translations of the Scripture. And I was raised on King James. Can I say to you, everything that I'm walking in right now, I was not raised this way. I was raised in a very traditional church. Nothing wrong with that. I was raised on hymns and Jason, where's Jason Quinn? Yes, I like that throwback you did the other day. But you just sort of put a little twist, Holy Ghost twist on it. That was really good. I like Glory. I like that song as a song mom. You know, it's good to know that God uses different things for different times and different places. But I was raised on that type of music, that type of singing, and there's definitely nothing wrong with that. And I like those. I think we should, you know, embrace those old hymns and thank the Lord for them, because a lot of it has to do with their heritage. But I was raised from 2 weeks old until I was about 7 years old in a Methodist church. Methodist. Woo! Pastor, are you? You in the Methodist church? Yeah, I love the Methodist people. And, man, but, you know, our pastor back then, it was just like, man, there was a lot of revival in that church. Our pastor, man, he was fiery. Old Mr. Holbrook from up in Neon, Kentucky, man, he was fiery. He had the fire of the Lord in him, man. He preached, and, you know, people would respond and get saved. There was great revivals in that church. Then I came up in a more traditional Baptist church. It's a Free Will Baptist church. And everything probably we're about right now. I love the Free Will Baptist. Got a lot of old friends and acquaintances there in that. But the fact is, it's not at all like what I'm about right now. But that was important for me. And not saying that, you know, there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing. But what I'm saying is, God does move. And He does change things in our life. How many knows that God changes things in our lives? Amen. And some changes are good. Some changes are great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But today, I'm here, and I want to share an announcement. I think it's next Friday or next Thursday, Ginger. It's the 5th. The 5th of May. There is an opportunity. Most of you have heard of a group called Confederate Railroad. It was a country band, you know, back in the day. Well, CMT and won a lot of country awards and Grammys and different things. But one of the members of that band, his name is Cody McCarver. How many's ever heard of Cody McCarver? He's also a soloist now, and he sings on his own. But this man was changed. God saved him, and now he's doing gospel music, and he's traveling and sharing his testimony about God's wonderful grace. So he is a country music artist, and he has great recognition. He's known for, you know, all of his career in country music and as an actor. And he began by working, playing bass for Lynn Anderson. He started, managing her. And Cody spent over a decade with, you know, the band, Confederate Railroad, a multi-platinum band, and until 1910. And then he signed his own contract and began this country music solo himself. Cody, he's had a great career in country music videos on CMT. And he's won Independent Artist of the Year 3 consecutive years. But all that accolades, all those things, is just to say this guy's accomplished things. But his greatest accomplishment is surrendering his life to Christ. God has delivered him from drugs and alcohol. Is that right? A lot of things. A lot of different things God's done in his life. Okay, so know that. And so this Friday, over in Elizabethton, is that true? Thursday. In Elizabethton, is that true? The name of the church? Okay. All right, it's in the Word. But we'll send it out to you. This man will be sharing his testimony and be singing some and about his personal faith in Jesus Christ and what God's done. And, you know, if you'd like to go and there's enough people, you don't have transportation and somebody can drive. I can't go that night. But if somebody would like to go, take a van and go over there and listen to his testimony and be a part of that, we'll do something there. Or if you want to go independently, individually, and go by there. But I think that would be a blessing to you because this man definitely has a turnaround in his life. Amen? Amen. All right. How many has the Word of God open? Nobody has the Word of God open. Okay. All right. Lord, I need you to help me today. All right. So I'm going to read this scripture because I like this translation for this scripture. In Job chapter 42. The last chapter of the book of Job and verse 10. Okay? Wow. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share such a powerful word with your people. And if you want to stand, you can. But if you can't, that's all right. That's okay. There's no problem with that. Okay? Somebody there? Say amen. All right. Lord, we love your word. And I want you to look in verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. God turned Job, his life, this way. 180 degrees. In fact, God did more for Job in the end of his day than he did in the beginning of his day. All right. Let me read that. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We call that a double portion. You, my friend, are living in an age, in a generation, who's the double portion generation. We're not the Elijah generation. We can relate to Elijah a lot, but we're the Elisha generation. We are the double portion generation. We're receiving at Christ's expense exceedingly abundantly above what you can imagine. God wants to bless your life. Amen. How many know that you're sitting here right now in this room? You are blessed. Amen. You're blessed. All right. And the Bible said the Lord, he received twice as much as he had before. Twice as much as he had before. You may be seated. You say, Pastor R, what does that have to do with me in 2016? What does it have to do with me? Because I believe in a God of restoration. I believe a God that restores. Not only does God restore, but God puts back. You know, the word restore, you look it up in the dictionary, the word restore means to put back to original state. There's nothing wrong with that. But you see, God does exceedingly abundantly above that. God, He not only puts your life back, but He puts your life back blessed more than it was possible to be blessed in the first place. God is about restoring your life, putting your life back together, and giving you more than you had before. Now let me ask you a question here. Let's do a little class here. When you think of the word Job, when you think of the name Job, and I need your help, okay, please. Don't let me come back and sit down beside you, okay? All right, that's the way I used to do in the classroom. Some of these old students of mine, older students, I mean, don't probably remember that. I didn't mean that as chronologically old. I just meant you probably don't remember this. But when you think of the word Job, what word comes to your mind? Come on, be real with me. Suffering. Everybody say suffering. Because Job did suffer a lot. He did suffer a lot. But do you realize all of Job's suffering? We read the book of Job, we think the whole book of Job is about Job's suffering. But you know what? Contrary to that, the whole book of Job isn't just about Job's suffering. In fact, theologians believe that only 8 or 9 months of his life did he go through this. And that the end of Job's day was better than the beginning. I want to say something to you. Think of all the things that he went through that were bad. Yes. But think of all the things that he did that was great in his life. Okay, you think of Job. You think of suffering. What else do you think about when you think of Job? Heartache. Suffering. Okay. Give me something different. Faith. He was a man of faith. How many believe that man was a man of faith? He believed God. And all that he went through, he kept his faith. He believed God. He could have given up. He could have quit. But he maintained. I didn't say he was perfect. Listen, the Bible said he was also what kind of a man? That has to do with what we think the word perfect is. What does that word mean? It starts with an R. Come on, you want me to? Righteous. How many knows that Job is a righteous man? Job wasn't righteous because of his necessary good deeds. He was righteous because he maintained his faith. He trusted in God, although he wasn't a perfect man. Job was a righteous man. Guess what today? Our righteousness is not in our own. It's not on our own. We are righteous. We are called the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness through Christ Jesus. We are righteous today because a righteous king stood in our place and he became our righteousness so that we could relate and obtain his righteousness. We're righteous through Christ. So Job was a righteous man. He was a good man. He was a faithful man. He was a surrendered man. He was a man with all these characteristics and all these qualities. Job was all of those things and probably more. But you know, I'm going to look at two things right here with Job. And I'm not going to be in your length very long. Not going to be in your presence very long. But Job, no, at the beginning he had everything. He was one of the wealthiest men in the East, the Bible said. He was one of the most influential men of his time and his day. He had cattle. He had lands. He had, the Bible said, his daughters were fair. They were beautiful. He had beautiful daughters. He had a wonderful family. He had all these things going for him. Besides being the wealthiest man in the East, he had all those things. And then suddenly, the devil stepped into his life and he took all those things. If you read in the first chapter of the book of Job, it talks about how the Lord dropped the hedge down so that Satan could go in and tempt Job. And he said, he told God, the devil did, that I can make Job curse you. I can make Job give up on you, God. I can make him doubt you, not believe you, and just give up on you. So the devil stepped in and he took everything that he had. How many knows that the devil's a thief?
Listen, for those in here today thinking the devil's your best friend, you better change friends. It'd even pay you to quit hanging out with the friends that are his best friends. Because the devil is a thief. John 10:10 says, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life.
Life more abundant.
Oh, you see, Jesus not only come to give us restoration, not only just come to give us life, but life more blessed than you could possibly think your life can be blessed. Turn around to somebody and say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm too blessed to be depressed. Look around you, friend. You're blessed. I know you're going through things. I know you've lost things. I know the devil's taken things from you. I know he stepped into your camp. He stepped into your life and he's extracted from you things that are very important to your life. There are people today in this room that are hurting because of what they lost. How many's ever lost something in your life? Wow, look around this room. Look at the real people. How many's ever really lost something in your life? I'm not talking about your keys or your phone. I'm talking about things that are important in your life. How many's ever lost your health before? How many's ever lost your friends before? How many's ever lost, listen, your loved ones to death? How many's ever lost maybe houses or homes? Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day. I couldn't believe a testimony. They had talked about how successful, what a successful businessman he had been. He owned tractor trailers. He owned his own business. And he's behind walls. He lost all of that because of drugs. Listen. Life can step right into your life. The devil can step right into your life. And he can take some of the most important things in our life. Job had all of those things. But guess what? He ended up with nothing. He lost everything. And he even lost his health. He lost his health. But he kept believing God. He kept believing God. He kept trusting God. He kept knowing. Listen, Job, all of his 10 children died. Think about that. He lost all 10 of his children. His marriage became miserable. His wife started talking foolish to him. Job went from good health to bad health. He went from prosperity to poverty. He had sores. When Job went through the battle with his body and his health, he had sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He sat in sackcloth and ashes. He scraped those sores from off of him. He was a miserable man. He was a broken man. He was a lost man. But in all that, he kept his faith in the God who could get him through. He knew. Nobody, the Bible said, suffered as great as Job has suffered. How many knows that when you're in this life, you go through things in this life? And there's something that people develop. Can I talk to you just a minute? And you talk to me. There's something that people develop in all the things that they go through in life. It's called fatalism. And it's one of the most devastating feelings in our life. The feeling that this is the way that it's going to be and nothing is going to change. I was ministering to men behind the wall at the annex at Mountain City the other night. And those men blew up in that place. Those men, just God lifted their hearts and their spirit because they got a hold of the word of God. Here is men who are behind the walls. They don't really have freedom. They're behind barbed wire. They have, listen, they've lost a lot in their life because of drugs. They've lost their family. They've lost relationships. They've lost all these things. But yet behind those walls, those guys have wrapped their heart around Christ as freedom. And so today they know what they have in Christ. And so when the word of God comes forth, man, they're shouting and jumping and listen and saying, I believe it, I receive it, and I'm going to start walking in it. How many knows that you... Today it's hard, but fatal. It's hard to imagine ourselves sometimes in the things that we go through as getting any better. That's the way it's going to be. Nothing's going to change the situation. I'm in this, and this is the way I am. This is the way my spouse is. This is the way my kids are. This is the way my work is, or my work isn't. So this is just the way it is. Can't you look around you, Pastor? Wake up and look. It's a sad time around. I'm not looking at what's around me. I'm looking at who's above me. I'm looking at who's in me. Greater is He that is in you than whatever could come against you. Do you believe that? Now listen, I get excited when I minister sometimes. Is that okay? I get excited. You know, my veins pop out a little bit. I get red in the face. That don't mean I'm mad. I'm going to clobber somebody, or as he says, throat punch anybody, I don't think. It's not anything to do with that. I just get passionate. I get excited about what I'm telling you because I believe in what I'm saying. I've never been somebody that could, if they tied me behind this thing, I guess I'd just blow up. I know a preacher one time that was visited by his board of directors in his church. They told him he had to lower his voice down. They said, you got to lower your voice down in this pulpit. Whoa, man. I guess. Imagine saying that at a ball game. When you're sitting in these seats here, you got to lower your voice. I mean, I said, we got something to cheer about. It may be different, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. That just means it's different. So today, when people sit here in this room today and you feel like this is the way that it's going to be in my life, maybe this is the way the church is, the way society is. It's been this way for a long time, and it's just not going to change. And so how many knows that God is about restoring your life? He's about the best that is ahead of you. He's about putting your life back together and then some. He's about giving you hope, giving you a reason to get up in the morning. He is your reason for getting up in the day. He's the reason you got up out of the bed, put your shoes on, put your clothes on. He's the reason that you got up today. He's the reason that keeps you going. It's not what you think it is. It's the Lord. He's our hope. He's our life spring. He's our well. He's our sanctuary. He's our everything. The Lord is that to us and much more. We got to remember there are people here today that need things in their life. You need things in your life. You're here today and you're sitting maybe in a hopeless situation and you're battling fatalism. You're battling the fact that my life, it's not going to get better. My health is not going to get better. My family's not going to get better. They're just going to die strung out on drugs. They're just, my family's messed up. Or maybe you're messed up. And you're here today and thinking it's not going to get better. But God gave you a rose this morning, my friend. Did you know the rose He gave you? Boy, the Lord loves to give flowers to His children. Let me tell you one rose He gave you. Would you stand up back there? I know her name's not Rose, her name's Gloria. But did you know the Lord gave you a rose this morning and reminded you, if I did it for Gloria, I can do it for you. I can turn your situation around. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that today God is telling somebody, or a lot of somebody's in this room, whosoever wills, I believe He's telling you, I'm going to turn your situation around. I'm going to turn your life around. I'm going to change things. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you destiny. And if you believe that today, I want you to stand up to your feet right now, just by faith, just turn around and say, God, you come to turn my life around today. Do you believe that? Do you feel something turning? Do you feel something moving in your life? I believe that. I believe today that the Lord is going to turn you around. He's a God of turnarounds. Now, some of you here, you may be seated. Thank you. If you want to be seated, you can stand the whole time. If you want to come up here and help me out, you can. Can I tell you this morning? I'm not a a baseball analyst. Cam's going to maybe hopefully appreciate this. He may have to help me out a little bit. And I appreciate Corey or Shannon today wearing his baseball cap because I told him I was going to use this. Some of you today are getting ready for the greatest comeback in your entire existence. Because you've been down, you've been beaten down, you've been pressed down, you've been pushed down. Life is pressed in you. Listen, circumstances, listen, heartaches and hurts and illusionment has pushed you down, pressed you down. And some of you here today, you want something to hang on to. You want something to grab a hold of. You want that with all your heart. But there's an element of doubt in your mind or your heart where your life is not going to get better. Well, God sent you a personal word this morning to tell you that He has arrived to turn your situation around. He's going to turn your life around. Sitting there like a big possum grinning, eating grapes. Has He turned your life around, Jason? Amen. He's turned your life around. He saved me, cleansed me, turned my life around. Set my feet upon His solid ground. Oh, look what a change in my life. Come out, look what a change in my life. Listen, don't look at where you... Listen, the only way you should look at where you come from is to make you appreciative of God's grace. Don't let the devil or his imps, don't let religion tell you that you can't because of where you've been. Don't let the devil tell you you'll never have it because of what you did in the past. God is about taking messes, and turning them into messages. God is about taking hopelessness and turning it into hopefulness. God is about turning your life around. And He's getting ready to do that right now. Everybody in this room will be like popcorn in a hot oven. Lord, look what You have done in my life. Look what You brought me from. Look where I am now. Look where I could have been, but You didn't leave me there. You rescued me. You brought me out. You turned my life around. Now, I know we don't probably have a lot of Red Sox fans here today, and I'm sorry for breaking one of the Ten Commandments of some of the area sportsmen here today. Not a lot of Red Sox fans in here. But you've got to appreciate what this club did in 2013. They were the world champions. They were World Series champions. They won it all. And in fact, that season, they were tied for the best record in the MLB. Is that right? Mr. Foster or Grant or Josh, the baseball analyst here, who should be working for ESPN, but they're not. Maybe they will one day. But I'm just saying, this team did incredible things that year. And the reason why they did incredible things is because they got new management. That's a good piece of advice for us. You missed it right there. Sometimes we need somebody else to step into our life and change us and start rearranging things in our life. Start giving us hope again. Start giving us life. Sometimes we need new management to step into our situation and say, I'm going to turn this thing around. Now, some of you are sitting there thrilled to death that I'm talking about baseball facts. But did I tell you this? In 2012, they had the worst season in the MLB. They had the worst season in Major League Baseball. They were under 500 the season. They got in a slump. The whole team got in a slump. They all got down on themselves, and they couldn't win. They thought they can't win. Listen, I've taught in the classroom before, and I've taught kids. I've taught classrooms full of kids that come into the sixth grade, come into my class, or in the fourth grade, come into my room. And these kids, listen, They didn't even think they could pass a test. They didn't even think they could write. They didn't even think they could read. They didn't think, because all the previous years, everybody ever said, you're just a strikeout. You're just a failure. You'll never make it. But let me, I'm serving a God today who has showed up on your case. And he said, listen, I can turn your life around. Some of you need to change your manager. Why do you keep serving the same God that messes you up all the time? You'll always have what you've always had if you always do what you've always done. Until you decide, I want a change. I'm looking for a turnaround in my life, in my heart. So this is what happened. 2012, they had the worst season. 2013, they had the win in the season, and they won the whole championship. We talk about somebody else who had a great comeback, a great turnaround in their life. The real thing about this situation is that I'm looking at people here today that are great comeback stories. You're great turnaround stories, because your life was heading or in a bad place of darkness, situations of discouragement and depression. And heart sickness. Forgive me for mentioning this team, because I know most of you in here are not about this, okay? But in 1994, there was a team called the Kentucky Wildcats. And they were coached by a coach that's no longer there. His name was Rick Pitino. And they had the greatest success. I know some of you are booing me right now inside. You're not really. I can tell your faces right now. I'm not getting too many amens right here. But let me tell you, this is a fact, though. You can't deny the fact. You may deny the team, but you can't deny the fact. So in 1994, they were playing the LSU Tigers, and they were down 30 points. It was in the coffin. It was already nailed down. They were 30 points down. And the coach said afterward, being interviewed by news media, he says, I've never seen a team come back from so far behind and win the game as this team has. They excelled, because what these players did, they wanted to come back. They wanted to turn their situation around. So they came from a 30-point deficit, not the whole half, but in 12 minutes and a half, they came from 30 down to win the game. It is one of the greatest comebacks in sports history and basketball. And I'm just saying this. God is able to turn your situation around. I don't care how many points you're down. I don't care how far behind you are. I don't care how many bills. I don't care how far you are in the payment. I don't care where this health situation has got you. I'm saying God wants to turn your situation around. He wants your life to be blessed more at the end than he does at the beginning. Turn to somebody and say, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I believe that. Some of you, I say that, and some of you here today, some of you look at me and say, well, Pastor R is just trying to be chirpy, and he's trying to be cheerful, and he's trying to make us feel good. And I say it a lot, because you need to hear it a lot. Maybe we believed it more. Maybe God wouldn't have to tell us so much. But I know what God can do. I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in testimonies all over this room. This room is full of testimonies of how God turned your situation around. And had it not been for the hand of the Lord, you'll have to say, I wouldn't be here right now. God saved me. He rescued me. He brought me out. God says you need to smile more. Ooh. Wow. Can I say this? He didn't even finish eighth grade. He got hooked on drugs. Alcohol. He'd been in a lot of car wrecks. He could have died in either one of them. He could have died in any of these car wrecks. He could have died. And in fact, he was thought to be dead, or you was actually coded or something in one of those situations. But he could have died. He could have died. But God saw something in Tony. Because, see, God put something in Tony. This is what you got to get a hold of. The key to success is already down in there. You were created for more. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And some of you need to wake up and you need to smell the roses and you need to start being thankful more for what you got. Some of you can't enjoy what you have because you're always worried about what you don't have. That'll preach. Didn't finish eighth grade. Got messed up on drugs and alcohol. Life was messed up. Went to Indiana. Tried to run from God. God was in Indiana just like he is here. Right, Tony? God searched you out in that pizza business. This guy is blessed. He has so many great qualities about him. And he don't toot his horn. But he's been there. And God's brought him back. He's not perfect. In fact, I'm not preaching to perfect people. If you're perfect, you're in the wrong place. I don't know any. I only know Jesus. So, he lost so much in those years of rebellion and those years of drugs and alcohol. And he thought, well, there's a sense of fatalism. He'll never change. Things will never change until Jesus extracted him from the darkness that he was in. See, Jesus turned his darkness into light. He turned his... Listen, God's getting ready to turn somebody. God's getting ready to turn the light on somebody's darkness. He stepped into his life. He saved me, cleansed me, turned my life around, set my feet upon the solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? So he went after God got a hold of him, saved him, baptized him. Him and his beautiful wife, Brittany, were married. Got a beautiful family. Little kids that love Jesus. They just love to worship. Come up here and dance. And I just love it, man. I wish some of you all be that way. Quit trying to be all grown up. Just let go sometimes. So here's Tony. He says, Pastor, he says, I believe God's going to do something in my life. And I feel like he's called me to help people where I've been. And I want to give people hope. I want to counsel people. So he said, I'm going to go back and get my GED. It was tough. But he went back and got his GED. He did. Now he's a second year college student. On the dean's list. I said on the dean's list. I said on the dean's list. Some of you here today, you need to get a hold of this message. Lower your walls and let God, let God's grace extract you from your pain, your fatalism. Now, every time he come up with this big, huge excuse about this big, hard test, Pastor, I'm going to fail it just as sure as I can. I know I'm going to fail it. He got back to grade on it. 94, 98, 100. Now he's getting ready potentially to enter a program at ETSU that he's been invited to participate in. Because God can turn your life all around. Turn to somebody and say, he's getting ready to turn my life around. Thank you, Tony. Oh, he ain't done with you yet. Look at this guy. 5 years ago, he was behind the walls, having services with us behind the wall. Couldn't get out of the walls. But today, he's not perfect, but he's outside the walls, living a dream that God's still fulfilling in his life. Grant, each one of you, Channel, look around this room. Look what God has done. Without picking on people, when I do, people think that I just love people, some people more than I do others. That's not why I do that. You ain't talk to the boss about that. It's just the way, it's just the way I roll. When things happen, this is the way I'm trying to listen to the Holy Ghost. But this young lady right here, she dropped in here one Sunday morning, and her life, the bottom had come out of it. May I share? Her husband left her. Hopelessness. What am I going to do, Pastor R? I said, let's pray and let's believe. She grabbed a hold of that. And she's kept coming back. Listen, the other day she was baptized. Again, she was baptized. She re-embraced the faith in a powerful, fresh new way. And she started believing that God can turn my life around and my situation around. Listen, if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be wasting your time with it. I wouldn't be wasting your time with telling you this unless I believed that he could. Took a young boy out of the hills of Kentucky with a lot of darkness in his life as a child, as a young man. He extracted me. His grace extracted me. And years later, he saved me. He saved me, delivered me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He turned my life around. And listen, friend, if you told me 10 years ago I would have been doing what I'm doing right now, I said, I don't know, but you need to get off of it. You missed that one. Because I know what God will do in your life. Kathy, medically speaking, my Kathy should have been dead medically a long time ago. In 1995, she could have been dead. She could have just been a memory. But God decided he didn't want it that way. God extracted her from her fatalism, her situation, her hopelessness. And he says, Kathy, I can turn your life around. Now, listen, she's my number one supporter. She's my number one partner in grace and the gospel. She helps me. She strengthens me. She encourages me. But God turned her life around. Turn to somebody and say, God's going to turn my situation around. Oh, Jesus. Can I get ready to close? Can I share? We talked about Joseph lately. We're not going to do details about Joseph, but you know who he was. He was a man hated by his brothers. He ended up thrown in a pit, lied upon, betrayed. And his brothers lied to the father, dipped his coat of many colors, his coat of favor, and blood, animal's blood, and took it back to the father, lied to the father, and said he's gone. Joseph was thrown into a pit. He was sold into a place of despair, one of his darkest hours. But God had a plan. He kept dreaming because Joseph was a dreamer. I'm looking and ministering to dreamers in this room. People have purpose. People who have a dream bigger than your dream, because God's dream lives inside of you. It may seem small right now, but guess what? It's coming about. What is that? Yeah. Wow. That's a forest. That's a forest. Oh, no, it's just a little seed. It's just a little something insignificant. Why would God want me? Because God, there's a purpose, a powerful plan and purpose in your life. Continue to be lived and unfolded as you continue to trust in the Lord. But knowing this, it's the way that you look at it. You say it's an acorn, but God calls it something bigger than what you think it is. He spoke to my life. He says, I'm seeing something in you you don't see in yourself. And some of you need to wake up and start believing in what God wants to do in you. So he ended up in Egypt, in prison in Egypt. God's favor was with him and elevated him. He ended up the second most powerful man in all Egypt. Let me share this real quickly here. I'm trying to move on. I want you to hang with me, okay? Because the best is yet to come. I mean that. So Joseph ended up one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt. And he was in charge of the food granary. I shared this the other day, so some of you are getting it again. Maybe some of you need to hear it again. Because maybe you didn't get it the first time. So Joseph ended up a powerful man and in charge of the food. And one of the dreams he had was 7 years of famine. How many has ever gone through a famine in your life? I'm not talking about a literal famine. How many has ever been to a very low place, a dry place in your life? How many has ever thought, Lord, the heavens are brass? Somebody was just telling me that the other day. I pray and I seek and I cry, but I can't touch heaven, Lord. Where have you gone? I'm going through a dry place. I'm going through a dry time in my life. But God says, I'm getting ready to change that. I'm getting ready to turn it around. I'm getting ready to bless you more in the end than I did in the beginning. So guess who showed up in his court? His brothers that sold him out, that lied on him, betrayed him. And he could have killed him. He could have squished him. But he didn't. He revealed his identity to him. And he loved him and he embraced him and he forgave them. He forgave them. That's powerful, friend. You got to forgive. You want God to forgive you? You got to start forgiving people. Quit holding grudges. So he embraced his family again, and that was restored. But let me tell you what Joseph told his brother. This is important. This is a kicker right here. Thank you, Miss Kathy. I appreciate you so much. This is what Joseph told his brother, Leroy. He said, what the devil meant for my harm, God, watch it, watch it, watch it. You're going to miss it. Turned it to my good. So what you thought the devil was going to take you out with, guess what? It's going to be your biggest praise report, because God is getting ready to turn your situation around. Last thing we'll say, we'll close. The best is yet to come. The best day of your life is ahead of you. The greatest blessing you could ever imagine is in front of you. You got to embrace that. Start walking in it right now. You say, how can I walk in it when it's not happening? Because you're walking by faith. Romans 4:17. Calling those things that are not as though they already are. Walk. Walk in it. Believe it. Receive it. Say, it's mine. It's mine. It's what the Lord gave me through His Son Christ. A woman came to Jesus one time. Mark chapter 5. And the Bible said she was broke. She was destitute. She was hopeless. She had nothing. In fact, she had a severe health problem. It was an issue of blood. She hemorrhaged. And she was that way for 12 years. She'd gone to every doctor she could think of. She wasted her resources. She spent all of her money on doctors. And she was only worse. Her family turned against her because she was unclean. Religion turned against her because she was unclean. She was ostracized in her community. But yet, she got a hold of that seed. She got a hold of that word that Jesus was coming by. She had nothing. She had nothing. She lost everything like Job. But she said, I know my day is here. Can you believe with me that your day is here? This is your day. This is your day. It's your day. It's not your neighbor's day. It might be, but this is your day. Look up to the Father and say, God, this is my day. God's getting ready to turn you around. He's getting ready to turn your situation around. I believe that, Bobby. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe it or not with me? I believe it. So she said, oh, if I could just get to Jesus. Some of y'all, that's all you need to do today. Just get to Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I know what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get some of you to tune me out. Ain't nothing important, more important than what Jesus is getting ready to do in your life right now. Miss Tales will be there. Burger King will be there. The restaurant will be there. I promise you. Walmart will be there. But listen, there'll never be an opportunity like today because Jesus is passing by and you need to get to the crowd and you need to reach out and touch him and say, Jesus, I believe this is my turnaround. So she reached to the crowd and she couldn't get to him. She was being pushed and stepped on, but she was deliberate. She was aggressive and she was determined to get to Jesus. Are we that determined to get to Jesus today? Some of you here today because you're determined to get here today. And if the truth was known, and you could tell the story right now, the devil tried every way in the world to keep you from coming this morning. Think about that. Why does he always work on Sunday? He don't work like that to keep you from going to Walmart, does he? He don't even work like that to keep you from going to work as much as you hate it. But when it comes to reaching Jesus, he has a problem with that. And the problem is what you're going to find when you reach out and touch him. Because God says, I'm going to turn your life around. She touched him. Grant, immediately virtue flowed out of his being. He didn't even know who touched him. He turned around and said, somebody touched me. Somebody's getting ready to touch the Lord today. And God is getting ready to turn your life around. Stephen, he's getting ready to turn things around. He's already started, my friend. He turned my life around. He saved me. He cleansed me. He turned my life around. He set my feet upon the solid ground. Immediately that woman's issue was healed. Virtue flowed into her. And she knew that she had touched the Lord. Because right there that day when she left, turned around. This is a turnaround God wants to give you, not a 360. If you do a 360 turn, you're going to go back in the same direction you came in. You're going to stay on the same path you've been on. And I'm saying, if it's not worked before, don't start holding your breath thinking it's going to work that way again. God says, I want to do something different. I want to do something new. I want to do something fresh in your life. I want to do something that I've never done or you've never let me do before. And I'm getting ready to do that right now. She was healed. She left. What an 80-degree turn. Changed. Turned my life around. Job's last day was better than the beginning. And you read the rest of that last chapter of the book of Job. God's increased Job's life double from what it was. But he lost everything that he had. God could have restored it, just gave him back what he lost. But God said, Job, I love you. And you've been through a lot. I'm going to bless you double. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. pray against blood sugar issues right now. I pray against people's distractions. And I pray, Lord, that you would extract by your powerful grace people from their darkness and their pain and their suffering. And you would turn their life around, Lord. Let them leave here, Lord. Step higher and appraise longer. Let them leave here, Lord, knowing that Jesus has turned my life around. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, Josh? Do you believe that God can turn your life around? I do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And somebody needs to just come, even if God doesn't need to turn you around, because somebody up here needs to turn around at this altar right now. That means we need people to believe we're people. Do you believe God can turn your situation around? Look around this room, man. I want, if God has ever turned you around before in your life, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If he's ever turned something around in your life right now, just stand. Look around the room. I want everybody to take a look. There's a reason why I had you do that. I want you to look around the room. Don't make faces at people or anything like that. Just look around the room. Look what God has done. Norita, look what God has done. You're a work of grace. God turned your situation around. And now you're praising him and worshiping him. But you could have been gone. Some of you here, your family could have put flowers upon your grave Memorial Day. But you're here today. You're a testament of God's grace and goodness. God is able to turn your life around. Put your feet upon the solid ground. This is what the Lord's getting ready to do in your life. Some of us need to watch right here, guys. We need to really be careful right here. We need to look right here. God's getting ready to do something. Listen to this. God will turn your mourning into dancing. He'll turn your sackcloth into joy. God will turn your mistakes into miracles. He'll turn your test into a testimony. He'll turn your mess into a message. God will turn your darkness into light. He'll turn your disappointments into divine appointments. God's ready to do that right now. And all he's waiting for is somebody to believe him. And somebody to receive. And on the count of three, somebody to respond. Because you're here today and you need a turnaround. There are people here today who need turnarounds in your jobs, in your situations. Why do you think God sent this for you? And you're sitting there saying, who is that message for? It's for you. It's for you. How plain does God have to make it? It's for you. So today God is saying, trust me. Believe me, receive me, expect me, and I'm going to turn your life around. I'm going to turn your life around. 1, 2, 3. If you need a turnaround right now, come right now. Let's all stand up here together. Come on. Listen, I'd like for you to do something today. While they're coming today, I'd like for you to do something. Before you come, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to do something a little bit more. I want you to do this. Before you come, I want you to say, God, he's turning me around right now. I want you to come because you need a turnaround right now. You need a turnaround right now. And we need people to help pray here at the altar. We need people to help pray at the altar. Just move in. Can you guys? Yes, just come on around. Move in here. God's turning around. He's turned around. He's turned around. Josh, he's turning around. Come on, people need to reach God right now. People are reaching out to God. Come on, right now. There's other people need to be here. God said most of this congregation should be up here right now because you need a turnaround in your life. You need to turn around. You need to turn around your job. Just press on up. Press on up. Press on up. Call other people can get up here.